Birshutchem. Okay, we are on today's daf is Kaf Aleph, daf 21. We are at the bottom of Kaf Amud Bet. We just started the new chapter, Hayashen Tachan Amita, someone who sleeps under a bed in the Sukkah. We said, Lo Yatzai Dechavato, and we brought the story of Rabban Gamliel. He said, with the slave, Tavi Avdo, who used to, he was a big Tamid Chacham, and used to sleep under the bed in the Sukkah to teach us that. That, you know, he wasn't chayav, and he would do that to show that, you know, he's not yotzeh, to make room for everyone else. That was the understanding. So we're going to talk about these topics. The first amud of today's daf is basically going to be discussing the laws of tum'ah with regards to an ohel, right? We know that anything that has a tefach, baya tefach, berum tefach, it can be mahahil over the tum'ah, it can make an ohel over a tum'ah to make tumah in the area, and it could be chotzetz bifnei tumah, which means it blocks the tumah from traveling. Okay, so these are the two important rules. So this first amud is going to be going on that. The main purpose of what we're trying to figure out is what consists of an ohel and what does not. Because the daf I would give, you know, a topic for today is, does an ohel arai mevatel an ohel keva? Right, a bed where a person sleeps under, which is, so to say, an ohel arai. It's a temporary ohel. Does that cancel out this permanent ohel that we have of a sukkah? That's going to be the discussion of today's whole daf. This first amud, don't get lost in the tum'ah stuff. It's just on the way to get there for us to learn out the rest, okay? Tanura banan. Sorry, tanan hatam. It's taught in the Mishnah, over there in Ohalot, I believe. Echad chor shecharru mayim. If there's a hole that was made by the water. Can you pass the matifta? It just has good pictures in there so I can show you guys what it's referring to. If there was a hole that was made, let's say the water was very high. It wasn't low water, it was high water. Oh, it's the next, I think it's the next krach. Krach on the matifta. We've already got to the next chapter. Do they have it here? Do you know? Okay, not for tomorrow. No problem. I think he actually sent pictures to the chat, so we can use that.
Somebody sent pictures, I think Marcia sent.
Yeah, Marcia sent. Okay, we can use that. So he says, if it was an ohel, if the hole was made, if there was a hole made under a stone, let's say there's water, I don't know if you've ever seen, they have these big stones in the water, and the water made a little hole in the bottom of the stone, making a little gap, that's a tefach by a tefach, with the height of a tefach, making an ohel over that. That's one example. Or sharatzim, or if you have, you know, like rats or insects that made a hole into a pile of stones, you have a, you know, stack of stones, and you have a little hole in it that's the size, you know, size of a tefach. So he says, if there's a hole made by sharatzim, or shachalatum milachat, or if it was eaten by milachat is like, you know, corrosive minerals. Yeah, from the language of melach. It's like a, you know, salty minerals that can crack open. I think Rashi explains it cracks open on its own from the ground. It's like has salty material and it cracks open on its own, and that makes a hole of a tefach. V'chen midbach an avanim, or if you have a pile of stones, v'chen soar shel korot, or a pile of poles. Mahil al hatuma, all of those, if there was a hole that was a tefach by a tefach, berum tefach, there would be mahil over the tuma, make an ohel over the tuma. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda would say, kol ohel sheino asui bidei adam, any tent that's not made in the hands of man, a no ohel, is not considered a ohel. Meaning what? It has to actually be made by man. It can't be something that happens on its own. All these examples were things that happen on their own or from an animal or something along those lines. Rabbi Yehuda has his own shita, which says it has to be made by men. Why? He says, "My tama de Rabbi Yehuda." What's his reasoning? Yalif ohel ohel mi mishkan. He learns out a gezera shava of ohel ohel. It says ohel over here and it says ohel over there with regards to the mishkan. He learns out a gezera shava. Ktiv hacha, it says over here with regards to tumah. Zot haTorah adam ki amut beohel. These are the laws, a person who dies in the tent, so on and so forth. Uchtiv hatam, and it says over there, with regards to the Mishkan, vayfros et ha'oel al ha'mishkan. He covers, he opens up or spreads out the tent over the Mishkan. Ma lahalan bidei adam, just like in the latter case, which was the Mishkan, it is in the hands of man. Man spreads out the tent. Afkan bidei adam, so too over here, it has to be that the tent was made bidei adam. It can't be that the oil was made on its own. And said, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that it would not be ma'ahil over the tumah if it was made on its own.
So trees, according to Rabbi Yehuda, wouldn't constitute an ohel.
Could be, yeah. I mean, maybe over there someone made them, someone planted them. It's a good question how far he goes to. Okay, it's a good question. Now we're going to go back and forth on the different opinions. The Rabbanan, what would Rabbanan say about Rabbi Yehuda's Gzera Shavah? He has a Gzera Shavah. We know Gzera Shavah is on Moshe. How can he disagree with that? So he says, Oel Ohel Riba. He says, no, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ohalim Tuvak Tivi B'Parashat Para. In this, you know, section of the Torah, it says Ohel many times. Lerabot Af Ha'asuim Elav. To come to include, is coming to teach us, even if it was made on its own, and it wasn't something that was made by men, that's also considered an ohel according to the Rabbana. Besavar Rabbi Yehuda, kol ohel sheino asui bidei adam eino ohel. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that any ohel made by men is not, yeah, that's not made by men, is not considered an ohel? Or minhu, we have a contradiction. We have, he says, chatzerot hayu benuyot b'Yerushalayim al gabei ha-sela. This is really good for the pictures. If you have, you know, courtyards that were built on the stone. Let's see. Yeah, it doesn't have it. No, it doesn't have it. It only had the beginning stuff we were talking about. The Metifta has a very good picture if anyone wants to see it. It's basically one of these, you know, like big pyramid sort of things. It's on top of stone ground. And on top of the, in between the stone ground and the actual buildings of the courtyards, where the courtyards are, there's these small semicircle holes. Gapped holes. I wish you could see the picture. It makes it much clearer.
Made by man. Are we talking about the man-made structure?
No, not necessarily yet. He didn't get into that yet. But he's just explaining. We're going to get to what's the contradiction. But we didn't get there yet. So he says, "Chatzerot hayu benuyot b'Yerushalayim." They were built in Yerushalayim. Al gabei ha-sela, on stone ground. V'tachtehem chalal, and under them there's a hole. Mipnei kever ha-tehom, because of the, you know, the blocked off grave that we're afraid of that might be under these stones. So on top of the stones, they made these semi-holes
to block the
tumah. To make an ohel of a tefach to block the tumah. Umevi'in nashim ubarot. They would bring pregnant women over there. Ve'yoldot, and, you know, women who were giving birth. Sham. Umegadlot b'nehem sham leparan. They would bring up their children over there for the para adumah, to be able to grow them up so that they don't become tameh. Tumat meh. They keep them safe so they don't become tameh. So they can use them to, we're going to explain what they do. Umevi'in shevarim. They bring oxes. Valgabehen delatot. And on the oxes, they would place a door. They would put a door. V'tinokot yoshvin agabehen. They would put the babies or the children on these doors. So you have an animal. You have the door sitting like this, flat surface. And the child sitting on top of the door where he doesn't have any chance of falling. It's very safe. Okay. V'kosot shel evin bidehem. And they would have these earthenware, stone cups in their hands. Higil shiluach, when they would reach the water, yardu letoch hamayim, they would go into the water, umile'um, they would fill up their cups, ve'alu v'yashu lahem, and they would go back to their place, back on these doors, on the animals. That's the first opinion. Well, all this is for the para aduma. Rabbi Yose would say, mimkomo haya, in his place, haya mishalshel umimale, mibini kever hatehom. In his own place, he wouldn't go down into the water. They would take a rope, and they would lower down the cup into the water, fill it up, and pull it back up. Why? They were afraid of kever at the home, this closed off, kever mechuseh, closed off kever that could possibly be under these stones. Vetanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda would say, lo ayu mevi'in delatot, they wouldn't bring doors, ela shevarim, they would only just bring these oxes. They didn't need to bring doors to cover. We thought that, okay, the doors was what for? Was to be the ohel, to block off the tumah. And they wouldn't even go down. They would stick the rope down, pull up the water, and pull it back up. That's what we thought. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't even have to bring the doors. So now the Gemara is going to ask. V'hash shevarim, the oil sheino asui bidei adam hu, v'katani Rabbi Yehuda omer, la yomavim delatot, el shevarim. We know that oxes are not an ohel that are built by man. Right? It's not an ohel built by man. It's an animal. How is the ox an animal? So we're going to see that later on, what the idea, but just to give a simple explanation, you have an animal walking on four legs, it has an opening under him, under his stomach, which is more than a tefach, which would be ma'ahil over the tumah, it's chotzez b'fina tumah. So it stops the tumah from traveling up so the child does not get tameh. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need even the door. The door is not the ohel, the animal is the ohel. And how can Rabbi Yehuda say that? Rabbi Yehuda holds that if it's not made by man, that's not an ohel. So that's the question. Ki ad Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Moder Rabbi Yehuda kimlo egrov. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the case of, Rashi explains, when it's the size of an oil that's more than a fist, let's say, it's like a fist, which is more than a tefach, that in that situation, it would be considered an oil, even if it wasn't bidei adam. So if it's a big enough oil, if it's a big enough gap, something very large, like this case with the animal's stomach to the ground, it's more than a tefach, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that egrov would be considered enough to be an ohel, even though it's not bidei adam. Tanin ha-me'achi, it's also done in the Beraita. U'moder Rabbi Yehuda b'shukifin u'nekikei ha-sela'im. Rabbi Yehuda would agree with the case of, let's say you have an uprooted boulder, if you uproot a boulder from the ground and it makes a gap in the stone, in the rocks, or a crevice in the actual stone itself. I'm telling you, if you look at the Netivta, there's great... Oh, it has it here. These are shukifin. Like a hole in the ground that they uprooted the bottom one. They uprooted the stone from the ground. And the top one, it has a hole in the actual stone. Those are the crevices in the stone. Okay? So you would agree in those cases as well that would be consist of an oil because that is a lot of egrof. There's a lot of egrofin.
Although
it's made, it happens on its own. V'harei delet, we know a door. The Yeshba Kama Egrofin, it has a lot of size, meaning the door from the ground, there's many fists, many tefachim. It's not one tefach, it's a lot of tefachim. V'katan Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda said, Lo hayu mevi'in da'atot ela shevarim. They didn't bring the doors, rather they only brought oxes. So how does that make sense? Why would Rabbi Yehuda say you're not allowed to bring doors? Why can't you bring doors? Bring a door, let that be the oil. There's a lot of space from the door to the ground. The Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, you didn't need to bring doors. It's not that you're not allowed to bring doors and the door wouldn't be an ohel. You don't even need to bring a door, Rabbi Yehuda says. That's how we originally understood it. I mean, the way the Hava Amina of the Gemara was supposed to be was, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to bring doors. That's not what he meant. He meant you don't need to bring doors because the animal itself is already ohel, so you don't even need the door. Okay, Rava gives a different answer. This is an important rule everyone to know. Anytime he gives the name before Amar, he's disagreeing with the previous opinion. Anytime he says Amar and then the name, he's not disagreeing, he's talking about something different. So Rava Amar, Rava gives a different opinion. Lo hayu mevi'in delatot kol ikar. They wouldn't bring doors at all. Shemipnei shedatot shel tinok gasa alav. Since the thought of the child, he's not scared. Why? Because he has a lot of protection when there's a door. Shema yotzi rosho o echad me'evarav. Maybe he's gonna stick out his head or one of his arms. Ve'itameh ve'kever atehom, and you would become tameh. So he says the reason why is not because you just said. It's not because you don't even need it. No, it's because we're afraid that the tinok will feel so comfortable and he's gonna stick his arm out and he's gonna become tameh, and then you can't do the paraduma. So he says don't bring the doors for that reason, so that the baby doesn't become tameh. Because if he's just sitting on an animal, if you have a child sitting on an animal, he's nervous to lean over. He might fall, so he won't lean over. That's the idea. Pick up Aleph Amud Bet.
Not alive.
Yeah, anything that's a tefach of space. Again, the animal has to be, it shouldn't continue moving. But yeah, if it's an oil over you, you can sit on top of the animal and it's not considered, as long as it's a tefach of space, that's how it seems. Okay. Tanik avate de Rava. We have a braita just like what we said with Rava. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda would say, Lo hayu mevi'in da'atot kol ikar, mipnei shedaato shel tinok gasa alav, shem yotzi rosho o echad me'evarav, v'itameh bekever ha-tehom. And the baby, if there was a door, he would be comfortable to stick one of his arms out and he would become tameh. So we have exact braita just like Rava's opinion. Ela, so what do? Mevi'in shevarim ha-mitzrim. We would bring Egyptian oxen. Shekrisotehen rechavot, that have very wide stomachs. Vatinokot yoshvin al gabehen, and the children would sit on them. Vekosot shel even midehem, and the stone cups in their hands. Higil shiluach, when they reached the water, yardu mil'um, they would go down in the water, fill it up. Ovealu v'yashu lehen al gabehen, they would go back up onto the animal and sit back in their place. Okay, up until this point, we have not yet discussed what our Mishnah was talking about. Now we're going to switch gears and move into the Mishnah's discussion. We needed to go through that whole discussion of Tum'ah and understanding what an oil is first and what constitutes an oil for us to understand our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, V'harei mita. Let's go back to our Mishnah. the bed, the yeshba kama egrofim, has a lot of fists of tefachim space between the bottom of the bed to the ground. It's not one tefach, it's more. Utnan, and still the Mishnah taught, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Noagin hainu, shainu yeshanim tachad amita, we used to sleep under the bed, mifnas kenim, in front of the elders, and you know, the Gemara says, evlo ayu amrin lanu davar, they wouldn't say anything to us. What do you see from that? Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though it has a lot of fists of space, it's still not considered an oil, because he says we used to sleep under the bed. How can Rabbi Yehuda say that? We know he just said that Rabbi Yehuda maskim, moder Rabbi Yehuda, kim lo egrof, that he agrees whenever there is more than a tefach of space. So this doesn't make sense, contradiction. The Gemara answers, shane mita ho'il ulegaba asuya. A mita is different. A bed is different. Why? A bed is made to sleep on. So if you sleep under it, it's not made for it to cover the bottom. Nothing is made to go under the bed, according to this pshat. So for that reason, it's not considered an oil. Even though it has a lot of space, it wasn't made for under it. It was made for on top of it. Okay, now the Gemara goes on shvarim. So shvarim nami legabana suim. So oxens also are made to be sat on, not for under them. So how do you say that oxens make an oil over the tum'ah? They're not used for under it. The Gemara answers, Kiata Rabin Amar Bilazar, Shani Shivarim, Hoil Umeginim, Al Haroim, Bechama, Minachama, Gishamim, Minagishamim. No, what happens is the animals, the oxen, whenever it's hot out and there's sun, the shepherd will go and lie his head under the animal's stomach. And so it's protecting the head of the shepherd from the sun, from the heat, or from the rain whenever it's raining. So it actually is made for it to cover something. It's made for the under whenever it's hot or cold, and the shepherd needs to go under the animal. So oxen is not a good example. You said bed is, you know, bed and oxen are the same thing. No, that doesn't work. Rabbi Yehuda still stands. What he said was mita is different than oxen. The bed is different than oxen. Okay. Then it says ihachi. If that's the case. Mita nami, so also for a bed, ho'ilu megina al min alim v'sandalim shetachtea. We all put our shoes and sandals under the bed. It protects our shoes and sandals. So clearly it is made for something to go under the bed. How can you say it's not made for anything to go under? Ela amarava. So you see, it doesn't make sense what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. Ela amarava. Shani shivarim. Oxen are different. Ho'il v'asuyim lahagin al b'nei me'ayim shelahen. No, oxen are made to guard their innards, their intestines. Right? They have a stomach, and under their stomach is the innards. So it's made to protect and to cover those innards. As the pasuk says, Shani emar, or u'basar tal b'sheini, u'batzamot v'gidim tesoch v'cheini. It says that the skin and the meat of the flesh of the animal, you will clothe me. And the bones and the sinews, you will tisuchacheni, is cover me, melashon skach. Right, that's we look at Rashi. Rashi says tisuchacheni alma skach karile. It is called a skach. Now, you know, just because we have a lot of extra time, we discuss. There's a Tosfot over here. The Tosfot says this pasuk is a pasuk in Iov. This pasuk, if you look at the Tosfot, it's a very short Tosfot. The first Tosfot on Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. He says afagav dehai krab beadam ktiv. But this pasuk is talking about man. This pasuk is not talking about animals. So how can you derive this pasuk to talk about animal? He says, "Kol sheken be'ema shekiresa lemata ke'en ohel." Meaning, it was talking about man, but you can say the exact same thing. How much more so for an animal whose stomach is downward and it's shaped as an ohel? And right when it's talking about the pasuk, it makes it a lashon as a skach, as a cover. Right? If we're talking about a cover, it should be something that it's covering. For man, what are we covering? When you stand, what are you covering? When an animal stands, he's actually covering the innards under him. So it's much, even more so for an animal, even though the pasuk's not even talking about an animal. That's how you can use this pasuk to learn out something that it's not talking about. Okay, so that's how you answer Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So shvarim are different because they are made to guard over the innards, whereas a bed does not have, you know, any purpose of that kind. So for a bed, Rabbi Yehuda would derive and say that it's not considered an ohel in my opinion. Or maybe it's an oil arai and it doesn't work. Meaning, according to the first opinion, it sounds like it's not even an oil arai. It's nothing. And so that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say you could even sleep under it. This opinion, though, it sounds a little bit chalash because we had so many back and forths. It sounds like a weak opinion, which is why the Gemara tries to bring a second opinion. V'bayit ema. Let's come and say maybe a second answer. Rabbi Yehuda le'ta'ame. Rabbi Yehuda goes to his same reasoning that we saw earlier in the Masechet on Daf, I think, Zayin. Right? Rabbi Yehuda had this same exact reasoning earlier on. It's the first daf. Also, I think it brings down the Zion as well. Yeah, I mean, it's that one also, but I think it brings it here too. Zion on Bet. Okay, I think it's also on Bet, Daf Bet also. It's both. It's all over. You have to remember the Shita for the whole Masada. Rubida Shita is what? Sukkah, Damar Sukkah Dirat Keva Bainan. You need a Sukkah for it to be a actual permanent, you know, living residence. Vehavalim Mita Dirat Arai. And the bed is a temporary living place. Vesukkah Oel Keva. And a Sukkah is a permanent tent. Velo ati oil arai umivatel oil keva, and you can't have a temporary ohel come and cancel out a permanent ohel. Right? If we have a permanent oil of a sukkah and inside it is a temporary oil, which is the bed, it doesn't come and mevatel the whole thing. Huh?
Then it's a fixed item, just can be fixed. It's more permanent than a makeshift shelter, no?
No, I think
the status of being
the status, it's a matter of the sukkah is made for the whole holiday of Sukkot, and yeah, for it to stand there, and it won't be removed at all. The bed, who knows, sometimes you put the bed up, sometimes you put the bed down, it's not always there. You move it to the side, you flip it over, whatever it is, you don't always need it there for the holiday, so it's only temporary. Whereas the sukkah also, technically speaking, if you go back to the first daf of the Masechet, we said the opposite, actually. We said sukkah, you have to go... Here, where was it? Sem dirat keva, tikanes dirat arai. Right?
Yeah,
you have to leave your dirat keva at home in your house and go out to dirat arai. So we called dirat arai the sukkah earlier. We called it temporary place. Now we're using it in a different sense. We're comparing it to the bed inside of it. So we're saying compared to the bed, it's a keva. Compared to the house, it's arai. That's the idea.
That's why we're over 20
amot. Nahon? Exactly. That was the first thought. Exactly. That was the first thought. But we have a contradiction. The Gemara says, "Veha Rabbi Shimon." Also, another klal in Gemara. When the next line starts with "Veha Vavhe," it can mean two things. 90% of the time, it's coming to tell us a question. The upcoming part is a question. Sometimes it's going to be just a support to the previous, you know, comment. If it's going to be a support, 99.9% of the time, Rashi will say "Benichuta." It's coming to support. That's how you know what Veha is coming to tell you. So if someone, you know, didn't have art scroll, let's say for example, we're all Zoche, we have art scroll. But if someone didn't have, so we didn't know how to interpret what it's saying, you would understand. Veha, over here, it's not a support. Over here.
Mia.
Mia, exactly. Over here, it's a question. Veha, Rabbi Shimon, da'amar nami sukkah dirat keva ba'inan. Rabbi Shimon holds, also earlier on, that you need to have a dirat keva, you have to have a permanent residence. Ve'ati oel harai. Umevatel oil keva. You should have the oil arai. Umevatel oil the keva. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't say that. Rabbi Shimon holds that you're not allowed to sleep on. Look, go back to our Mishnah. This Mishnah right here. Rabbi Shimon says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon maase betavi avdo." He brought the case of tavi. Right. So Rabbi Shimon's clearly holding like Rabban Gamliel that you can't sleep under the bed. That the dirat oil, it is come to mevatel the oil keva. The oil arai is come to mevatel oil keva. This is Gemara answers. Beha pligi. So that's exactly what they're arguing on. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are disagreeing on this exact point. Mor savar ati oil arai mevatel oil keva. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an oil arai. Sorry, Rabbi Shimon holds that an oil arai is coming mevatel in oil keva. Mor savar lo ati oil arai mevatel oil keva. Whereas he says, Rabbi Yehuda says it cannot be mevatel the oil keva, and so for that reason you would be allowed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be allowed to sleep under the bed in the sukkah. Whereas Rabbi Shimon would say you're not allowed to sleep under the bed in the sukkah. If it's ten tefachim high, you're not allowed to sleep under the bed. If it's ten tefachim high.
Or a table,
same thing.
The discussion is even above ten tefachim, you can.
What do you mean?
Rabbi Yehuda is saying even if it's more than ten tefachim, you can.
Yeah, his opinion is not. It's considered an oil arai, or like the first thing we said, it's not even an oil, because he says it's not compared to oxen. It's not the same thing as oxen. It's different. Okay.
Be something very low, below 10, like you squeeze under it.
Yeah, that's not a.
It's like a blanket.
Yeah. Okay. Let's continue. So we had this case in our Mishnah. We had the case in the Mishnah with regards to Tavi Avdo. Tavi was a big Tamil Chacham, he was a slave of Rabban Gamliel, and he came and said, you know, they said Tavi would sleep under the bed to show us that, you know, Avadim are not Chayav in Sukkah, and that we're not allowed to do that because he would be Patur, he wouldn't be Yotzei Dechava. Amar Bishimon, Masebe Tavi Avdo, Tanya. Amar Bishimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Misichatosha Rabban Gamliel, from the conversation of Rabban Gamliel, that Sichato is a big word. From the conversation of Rabban Gamliel, Lamadnu Shnei Dvarim, we learned two things. Lamadnu Shavadim Pturin Min HaSukkah, we learned that slaves are exempt from the Sukkah. But Lamadnu, and we learned, Shayashan Tachad Amita, Lo Yatzai Yedei Chovato. And someone sleeps under the bed, there's not fulfilled obligation. So number one, slaves are patur from the sukkah. Number two, someone who sleeps under the bed in the sukkah is not yotze. So now, why did the Gemara use the word misichato shel Rabban Gamliel? We learn from the conversation of Rabban Gamliel. Why don't we say, we learn from his words. We learn from his halakha. We learn from his story.
I think you compliment Rabban Gamliel. Just that even his casual...
Ah, very good. So that's the answer. Velema midvarav shel Rabban Gamliel. Why don't we say from the words of Rabban Gamliel? So the Gemara answers, Milta agav orche kamashmalan. The Gemara was coming to teach us something on the way by saying, Misichato was coming to teach us something. Ki ha de amar rav acha bar ada. Ve amrila, and some say, Amar rav acha bar ada, amar rav himnuna. Amar rav, minayin sha'afilu sichat tamidei chachamim tzircha limud. How do we know that even the conversation of tamidei chachamim, not the halachot, when they're talking stam, you're the rabbi talking about anything, how do we know that you have to learn from? It says Shneemar, first chapter in Tehillim, Va'aleu lo yibol. It says in the pasuk, it's talking about a tree, and it says the leaves of the tree lo yibol, they will not wither, they will not, you know, dry out. What is that referring to? So if you look at Rashi says, how do we know that the conversation with Tamidei Chachamim needs limud? Rashi says, tzarich leshom'am. How do we know you have to give them your heart and pay attention to what they're saying, even when it's not during shiur? Ve'aleu, Rashi says, ve'aleu lo yibol. What is that referring to? Davar kal shebo. Even the smallest little matter of a tree. I was going for a walk with my wife. I was explaining to her. I said, what do you see when you look at the tree? So she explained me this. What I was telling you, this is exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Metivta also explained it. There's different perushim. But they say, the pasuk in Tehillim, saying you take a tree and you plant a tree. The essence of the tree is the trunk. Once you get to the trunk, after you get to the branches, then you have the fruits. No one really pays so much attention to the leaves in the background. Like, okay, there's leaves, but that's the smallest, you know, least important part. But he's saying even the least important part of the tree will not wither, will not go away. That you have to pay attention to. So even the conversation of Tamidei Chachamim, the jokes of the Tamidei Chachamim, the things that aren't their Divrei Torah, any words that come out of their mouth, we have to pay attention to, we have to listen to, we have to make sure we take in and we learn from them. And that's what we learn from Rabban Gamliel over here. Since we have a few extra minutes, I just want to do one more Tosfot, and I think we're going to stop here for the day. Okay, the Tosfot over here, we said we learned two things from this conversation of Rabban Gamliel. What were the two things we learned? We said that Avadim are Patur Min HaSukkah, that slaves are patur on the sukkah because he would sleep under the bed. And number two, that a person who sleeps under the bed is not yotzei. He doesn't fulfill his obligation, which is also the halacha. Now, the Tosfot asks a good question. He says, we know that sukkah is mitzvot asesh as mangarma. And we know that nashim are pturot. Women are exempt from sukkah. Why? For that exact reason. And if women are exempt, slaves are also exempt. So why does Rabban Gamliel need to teach us this? We know that rule from elsewhere. We don't need him to teach us that. So the Tosfot says, I'm in the middle of the Tosfot. It's terich la'ashmoinan. We needed to tell us that the lo tema de chayavin mishum dichtiv teshvu kein taduru. We needed to tell us, so we didn't say, right? This Gemara tries to bring a thought later on. Maybe we'll say that women are obligated. Why? It says teshvu. You're supposed to sit in the sukkah, live in the sukkah. Teshvu kein taduru. Just like you sit, you live. How do you live? Women live in the house also. Just like they were living in the house, they should also live in the sukkah. Gemara answers over there, no, you can't say that. Mitzvah aser shemang gama. We don't obligate women and we don't obligate slaves in mitzvah aser shemang gama. But that would have been our thought process. So that's why Rabban Gamliel had to come and teach us the story. So we learn from him that even in this case, Avadim would not be chayav, women would not be chayavot. And B'zal Hashem, will continue the next stuff tomorrow. Yeah. No question?